All right, everybody. Thank you so much for coming.
Will this record well?
Let me
probably do a better job than that. Okay.
Just don't clap.
Don't clap. No clapping. You got it. Otherwise, anybody listening in the car is going to, Okay. So again, thank you everybody for coming. I hope this will be Bezrat Hashem, the first of two parts that we're going to do on Haggadah Shel Pesach. Now, I titled the shiur about making it relevant and stimulating for the whole family. I think that the Haggadah is an absolute masterpiece when it comes to relating to the entire family. People of all ages, people of all backgrounds. And I, as somebody who's spent a lot of years looking at texts very closely, I happen to think that the Haggadah is actually one of the texts that we have, one of the Ma'amarei Chazal, that is actually a lot easier, on the much easier end, in terms of interpreting. I think that the messages and the lessons and the structure of what's going on in Chazal are much more stark and much more there for the taking. The problem is, as is often the case, actually looking for it and taking that closer look is sometimes what eludes us all. This was the case with myself. You don't think about it and you don't look at anything until you don't even really have the Haggadah too much in mind until you sit down Lelel Seder and start singing Kadesh Uchatz Karpas Yachatz. Again, I don't even think that you need to spend hours and hours and hours on the Haggadah. I think just a basic rudimentary understanding of its basic of its structure, of its content, yields a huge amount of information and a huge amount of perspective in terms of what is going on in the Lelel Seder. And I think, but once you are armed with all of that, you have the ability and the potential to make the content and the structure of the entire evening so much more relevant and accessible for everybody at your table. So with that in mind, let me begin with a quick anecdote. I grew up, I think as most of you know, I grew up in the rabbinic family. My father was now a rabbi for over 40 years in our shul in Roslyn. And in a place like Roslyn, in any shul, but in a place like Roslyn, being a rabbi, you get to be exposed to a lot of really interesting people and a lot of really interesting stories. And we always talk about how my father should write a book about his, the interesting stories that have taken place over the years. I remember vividly, I was pretty young at the time, somebody coming in and to speak to my parents about how angry they were about the Seder because of how arcane and silly and irrelevant the text was. I thought that the commandment, the goal of the evening was to tell the story of the Exodus. I don't see any Exodus in here. So this person told us that because they were so turned off by the text that the rabbis provided for her, she wrote her own Haggadah and she tossed out that one, and that was the Haggadah that they read at the table. So that kind of attitude is actually, it's interesting type of perspective, but that type of attitude is actually the kind of thing that I'd like to combat here. And if we just give a close look, I think really what it opens up the text that much more for us. So let me just say this. Let me start this way. I think that there are four general themes in which every aspect of the Haggadah, every aspect of Lelel Seder can fall into. All right, the first and foremost, which is actually for most of the evening is in the periphery, but the first and foremost is the mitzvot of the evening. All right, and that would include, all right, what are the mitzvot of the evening? First is Pesach, all right? So the Karban Pesach, which is the one that we can't do now. What else? Matzah, the mitzvah of Maror, and probably the one that's underlying the whole evening is what? Right? You got to live in Chal, the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim. So the first general theme of the Lelel Seder, I think, is the fact that we have mitzvot, we have halachic obligations, the same way that I light Shabbos candles on Friday night, or I put my talis on in the morning. There's a mitzvah which involves halacha, which involves specific dictums and specific precepts, and we need to do those to the T. And that's part of the evening, unquestionably. But like I said, I think that is almost secondary, if we could say that, to the evening, because of the other aspects. The second feature of the evening, I think, in terms of general themes, is halal v'hodah. That is, thanks, having expressions of thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu over mostly the Yitziat Mitzrayim, but to pivot into the next theme, right? So Hallel v'Hoda'ah, but a big part of the Seder, and we're going to see all of this as we take a little bit of a closer look into the text of the Haggadah, a big part of the Seder is not just telling the story of the Exodus, but the recognition of its eternality. The recognition and understanding of the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim as being something that is relived throughout Jewish history. And in that, I would title this last, this third theme of the evening as the great panoply of Jewish history. From the very dawn of time, from the very dawn of peoplehood, through today. And the relevance and significance of the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim from that time through all of Jewish history. That's the third theme. And finally, I would say that the fourth theme, which is more structural than it is content, but the fourth theme is more about the pedagogical aspects of the evening. Not what we're talking about, not what the content and structure of the evening is, but how we go about achieving the structure of the evening, how we go about achieving the content. And that is all about pedagogy. And in a way that halacha doesn't really have another example of the amount of educational philosophy, educational content that is given in Leil HaSeder, in the structure of the Haggadah. And all of these, like I said, pretty much every single thing that happens in the Leil HaSeder, I think, falls into one of these four themes. Like I said, number one, the mitzvot of the evening. Number two, Hallel v'Hoda'ah. Number three, the experience of Jewish history and where Yitziat Mitzrayim falls into that. And number four, the pedagogy, in terms of how we convey, how we relate this information. Everything is about this. So I want to go through the first section over here, which is just the first two pages, is a general introduction to these themes and how they come up. After, we're going to spend 10... Yes, Yaakov.
Well, the whole family, how come it's only Arba Banim and not Arba Banot?
We're gonna get there. The short answer that I'm going to tell you is that we've been misled our entire lives about what the Arba Banim is. It's not... All right, and forgive me because a lot of this is going to be my opinions and my perceptions of how the structure of the Seder goes, but how the structure of the structure of the Haggadah and the text and what it means. But in doing so, to quote the Rashbam, who famously said, "I'm only interested in the Pshuto Shel Mikra. The only thing I'm interested in this evening is looking at the plain meaning of the text." And based on what the plain meaning of the text is, the Arba Banim that we so lovingly refer to in the Seder, that the artists for time immemorial have been depicting, I think is a little bit of a misnomer. But we'll get there, okay? It's not Arba Banim and Arba Banot. The fact that we use the term Banim is probably more of the general Hebrew usage in terms of the ungendered is always referred to as male. But it's not about sons and not daughters. And we'll get to that. But... So like I said, let's start with section one. The first part is going to be, I just want to spend 10-12 minutes going through these first things. Everybody, you'll let me know what you think. And then we're going to shift from there into spend the majority of our time this morning on the actual text and structure of the Haggadah. Right? Specifically Magid. Next week, just in terms of forecasting what we're going to do moving forward, today we're going to focus mostly on Magid, which is going to be the crux of the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim and how we tell the story of the Exodus. Next week we're going to focus on the Seder Begadol. Okay? So we'll touch on it very quickly as an introduction to Magid, but we're going to focus on the rest of the Seder and all of the, poems and rhymes and interesting stuff that happens outside of Magid. Okay, so let me start with source number one. Source number one is the source for three, you mentioned the Arba Banim, three of the four Banim get their psukim, get their drashot from Shmot Yud Bet and Yud Gimel, right, in Parshat Bo. Let me actually just give one more caveat. I think that the most important companion to understanding the Haggadah, the most important companion is a Tanakh. And it's amazing how every other line in Magid, there are psukim being quoted. And it is I'm telling you, from the time that I started doing this years ago, it is amazing how much the Haggadah just opens up, and it's new worlds of understanding. All of a sudden, things just make so much sense. When you take a pasuk that's written in the Haggadah, open up your Tanakh, read the whole perek, Right? Whether it's in the Chumash, Navi, or Ksuvah. You open up the Perek and just look at it in context. And all of a sudden, that drasha makes so much more sense. So I just, you know, give a plug. If anybody's interested in, you know, and occasionally I get this question, you know, if I want to prepare for the Seder, in terms of the content of the Haggadah, what do you suggest? The first thing that I would always recommend, before you read anything else, before you start reading all of the Haggadot that have been published, which are, many of them are magnificent, the first thing that I would recommend is to get a basic understanding of the text, is to read the psukim that we're going to be quoting in context. You'll need a Haggadah, because I actually didn't write down the references here. I have the quotation marks, but you'll need to use a Haggadah that actually has the references. Be'ezrat Hashem, next year I'll put in the actual references here. Okay, so in that spirit, this source over here, source number one, is the source that the psukim, the drashot that we find in the four sons, right, which we'll colloquially refer to as the four sons, Zahar Babanim, that's what we find them in. Okay, so let me quickly go through with this. The first part, all right, when Perek Yud Bet of Sefer Shemot, the first part is a discussion of the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. The commandments to bring the Korban Pesach in Mitzrayim, this is now between, or do you know where we are here? This is between the 9th and the 10th Makkah. Okay, this is after Makat Choshech, before Makat Bechorot, the mitzvah for the Korban Pesach comes along. And as part of the Korban Pesach, they had to do what was known as the Agudat Israel. Let me read it inside. Vayikra Moshe lechol zikne Yisrael, we're in source number one. Vayikra Moshe lechol zikne Yisrael, vayomer aleihem, mishchu k'chu lechem tzon l'mishpachoteichem, v'shachatu ha-pasach. So the first thing that were mentioned about the celebration of Pesach, by the way, what jumps out at you? The first thing that's significant. What jumps out? Well, I can tell you what jumps out at me. Does anybody else? What's unique in this pasuk?
Mishchu.
Right. I wouldn't say mishchu. What do we not have? What structure and unit do we not see much of until this point? Kulechem tzon lemishpachotechem. All right. For the first time, really, we are now seeing family units. If you're looking again, if you want to understand the nature of Pesach, really until today, I think already from these psukim, stuff starts to jump out. The emphasis on family, the emphasis on doing something in a family unit, in a family structure, is already from the Korban Pesach, from the first Korban Pesach, is emphasized. All right, Pesach Chafed. Lachem alachem agudat izov utzvaltem b'adam asher basav. Yigatem al mashkof al shtei amezuzot min adam asher basav. Yatem lo titzu ish mipetach beito ad boker. So this is during Makat Becharot. What are you going to do? You're going to take the blood from the Korban Pesach, and you're going to dip the agudat izov. You're going to dip this makeshift paintbrush, and you're going to paint the doorway. We all know the story. And that way, Yavar Hashem didn't go from Mitzrayim, and Hashem is going to come along to do the Makat Becharot. He's going to skip over your house. He's going to pass over your house. All right? You're going to do this, all right? Not the Agudat Ezov, but the Korban Pesach. You're going to do forever. Right, so now we've just shifted from the immediate Sivui, the commandment that was given to the Jewish people in Mitzrayim at that moment. We've shifted now from there to the eternal commandment for the Jewish people. When you go into the land, you're going to have this mitzvah to do this to perform this rite. Chavav v'haya ki yomru elichem b'neichem ma ha'avodah hazot lachem. Right? Anybody remember their Haggadah? Which child is this reference? Yeah, this is the Rasha. So the first reference that we have in the Torah to a question is the question that the Haggadah presents to us as the question of the Rasha. Ki yomru alechem b'neichem, all right? The more you read Chumash, the more you read the halachic presentations of mitzvot in the Torah Shebichtav, the more this is striking. When your children ask you, Ma ha'avodah hazot lachem, what are you going to tell them? Va'amartem zevach pesach hu la'ashem asher pasach al batei b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim, b'nakpoat mitzrayim yet batenu itzil. When you are asked by your children, what the heck are you doing with this Korban Pesach? All right. When you are asked that question, you are going to respond with this formula. This is the Zevach Pesach. This is the Korban Pesach that we are being makriv. We are sacrificing because Hashem skipped over our house when He was doing Makat Bechorot. Vayikoda Ama Yishtachavu, and the people bowed down and they worshipped. Okay. So the first presentation, the Rasha. Take that what you will. But it's the Rasha. The Torah is presenting it in the form of a question and answer. When are you going to discuss this? When you are asked. Right, that's the end of Perek Perek Yud Bet. Now, shift to Perek Yud Gimel. Right, I skipped the first five psukim. I skipped where I could here. Shivat Yamim. Now we get into the actual mitzvot hayom. The beginning of Perek Yud Gimel is, anybody know? 10 bonus points. Right, the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. Chodesh Azad Lachem Rosh Chodesh Mishanu Chodesh HaShana. The first five psukim, and then we get back into Pesach. So that would be the mitzvah to make Rosh Chodesh Nisan the first month of the year. Okay, now Pasuk Vav. We're in the middle of source number one on page one. Shivat Yamim Tochal Matzot Uvayom HaShvi'i Chag LaShem. You're going to celebrate the Passover holiday by having 7 days of eating matzah. And on the seventh day, it's going to be a Chag LaShem. Matzot Yachel Et Shivat Hayamim. You're going to eat, alright, this is redundant, but you're going to eat matzos, and then you're going to eat matzos for the 7 days. And not only are you going to be eating matzah, but you're not going to allow to have chametz in any place in your domain. Not only that, but v'igad delevincha b'yomahu leimor ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeitim mitzrayim. And you're going to tell your child on that day ba'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeitim mitzrayim. Because of this, Hashem, right? It's because of this that Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim. What do you think Bavur Zeh is referring to? The simple pshat. Yeah. All right. Why do you think that?
Because pshat follows immediately.
Right. So the simple understanding is going to be another very interesting a very interesting formulation. Again, the civil pshat, even the Haggadah, the Gemaras and the Midrashim all give a drashot on this, but the simple pshat in the Psukim is that you're going to be eating matzah and you're not going to be eating chametz. And what's going to then happen? You're going to tell your child, you're going to explain to your child, this is why, for the sake of fulfilling this mitzvah, for the sake of performing this act, of eating matzah and abstaining from the eating of chametz, that's why God took me out of Mitzrayim. Again, for the second time, we have this mitzvah of telling, and it's framed in this context of give and take between a parent and a child. So you got the Levincha, Harry.
Isn't Levincha your son and not your four daughters?
What? So
Levincha, I mean, it's flat.
Okay, so let's say you have seven sons, right? So is it? Do you have to only pick one? I think that the simple Levincha here. So I think that the simple pshat here, again, and I'm not, you're not wrong, and I'm saying where you're coming from. I think the simple pshat and the way to read this, and the Tanakh does this all the time, it's the royal son, right? It's talking about the son, but it's talking about children. When you're a son, you want to say son? I would say when you're a child. When you're, you can't, the Torah never says, v'yikata levincha o levitecha, right? It very rarely says, once in a while it does. Okay, if you're looking to suggest that women are exempt from this mitzvah, that you're flying in the face of 3,500 years of Jewish history. So I'm gonna have to disagree with you respectfully. Okay, but point noted. What I want to emphasize though is the give and take. All right, in both of these formulations, and again we're within a few psukim of each other. We went from the end of Yud Bet now to Yud Gimel. The give and take between parent and child, and that is how the mitzvah of telling the story of the Exodus is framed. Okay, then Tet and Yud is about the mitzvah of Tefillin, and then Yud Aleph we get back into it. Vayakiv Yachashem et Haaretz. Pasuk Yud Aleph is at the bottom third of source one. Vayakiv Yachashem al Eretz Haknaniyah Shenishpal Achalav Olavotech Unatanalach. When Hakadosh Baruch Hu brings you into the promised land, Vahavarta Kol Peterechem Lashem, Kol Peter Sheger Behimasher Yelachaz Charim Lashem. And what you're going to do? You're going to separate all the firstborn. V'chol Peter Chamor Tifteh Beseh. V'im Lo Tifteh V'arafto V'chol Bechor Adam V'Vanecha Tifteh. Right. This is the mitzvah, which we're not going to get into, of redeeming the Bechor Behima. V'hayaki Shalcha Bincha Machar Leimor Mazot. What's going to happen when your child asks you later? All right, mazot. What is this again? Which child is this? Is this pasuk from Tam? Correct. Mazot. V'amarta elav bechozek yad hotzianu Hashem mitzrayim beit avadim. So I ask you, does this have anything to do with Pesach? The previous Yud Aleph through Yud Aleph Yud Bet Yud Gimel We're not getting into what it is about, but what it's not about is, right? It's not about is Pesach. It's not about matzah. It's not about maror. It's not about tzibur yitzei mitzrayim. Yet your child is going to ask you tomorrow, whatever tomorrow means, the royal tomorrow, you know, down the line, at some point, your child is going to ask you, what is this? You're going to explain to him, now, considering the fact that this is not spoken in context of a general Seder, Yitzhak Mitzrayim issue, what do you think, what inference can we make from this pasuk? Ki shalcha bincha leimor mazot, referring to a mitzvah that isn't really necessarily related.
But the next pasuk is talking about it.
Okay, vayiki ishka paro l'shalcha. That's just continuing the story. Vayaki shalcha bincha machar leimor mazot. Vamarta ila bechozek yad osein Hashem mitzrayim mitavadim. Right, Hashem took us out bechozek yad with strength from Egypt. Vayiki ishka paro l'shalchenu when Paro didn't want to take us out, didn't want to let us out. Vayharog Hashem kol bechor be'eretz mitzrayim bechor adam yad bechor beima al kina nizoveak l'Hashem kol patirach mazcharim bechor bechor vani. Right, so. It's exactly right. The point is that this is not about Pesach, yet we're making it about Pesach. Meaning, we're connecting a halacha, we're connecting a mitzvah of Bechor Behema to the Passover story, and we're putting it at the middle of the Pesach Seder in the Haggadah. But this is really an explanation, a pedagogic experience, a give and take between a parent and a child that has little to do with the actual Leil HaSeder. Yet it's in there. Okay, so the only point that I want to make from this is, again, I think that I said that the four themes that we had mentioned about what's going on in Leil HaSeder, I think they're already there in the Psukim. I think that this is here. The eternality and ubiquitous, the ever-present significance of the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim and the Exodus is there in all things. Are you looking for a proof? We'll take psukim that are not about the Sipur Yitzhak Mitzrayim, they're not about Pesach, they're not about Leil HaSeder. Yes, they relate to the Exodus, but we're going to take these psukim and we're going to put them at the center of the Haggadah to teach you, all right? And again, this is that how these things can be appreciated on so many different levels. You read these psukim in the Haggadah, if you know Sefer Shemot really well, right, then you're going to know that this is not a reference. When you read the Tam, you know that this is not a reference to Pesach. You know it's a reference to the mitzvah of Pidyon Petach of Bechor Behema. And if that's the case, a light bulb should go off and say, oh, wait a second. So on Leil Pesach, we're talking about things other than things directly relevant to Leil Pesach. So my point about the themes, which we're going to see inside in the Haggadah, about the eternality, the eternal significance, relevance, the super relevance to everything of the Yitzhak Mitzrayim story, already in these psukim, I think we're saying that's the point that I want to make. Okay, let's flip one more. So let's shift to Parshat Vetchanan. We're in source number 2, and again we have a give and take between a parent and a child. Ki shalcha bincha machar leimor ma ha'edot v'achokim v'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu etchem, which is the question of who, the chacham, right? V'amart, what's going to happen when your child, all right, asks you tomorrow? What are these things that Hashem is commanding you? Sorry, that I auto-corrected yud yud to hey with a thing for Hashem, and I tried to fix all of them, but that didn't. That's supposed to be hayinu, not ha Hashem. No. If you got that, then you probably are somewhat computer savvy. Amarti levincha avadim hayinu lefar b'mitzrayim vayotzeinu Hashem b'mitzrayim biyad chazaka. So what are you going to respond to him? We were slaves in Egypt, and Hashem took us out with a strong hand. And it goes the rest of the story. This is probably the best description in terms of the actual Exodus story in response to the question of the child. Again, there's lots to talk about in this, but I was just going to leave it. I just want to continue to emphasize the importance of the give and take between parent and child. Four times now in the Torah, we've seen four times that the Haggadah actually makes use of. Four times where the importance of telling the story of the Exodus is described in the Torah. And in all four times, it's framed in a discussion between a parent and a child. We cannot emphasize enough the centrality, the significance of the discussion between parent and child at the Seder. Now, I don't care what your level of observance or knowledge or education in you know Jewish texts is. This has been true ever since HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote these words down. Everybody throughout all of Jewish history relates to Leil HaSeder with the experience that they had growing up. Leil HaSeder, the Haggadah, is something that has developed and is continuing to develop until this day. But we all do it because of the fact that it's Ish Selavit Avot Selabayit, Lemishpechotechem. The fact that it's a family-centered and not a shul-centered ritual. How many family-centered as opposed to shul-centered rituals do we have in this religion? Very few. But because it's going family to family, there's a core structure of the evening, right? There's a core structure of the evening, but there's peppered all over these things are individualized aspects that we get from our parents, we get from our tradition. The significance of minhag in Leil HaSeder, I think, it goes far and beyond almost any other area in Jewish practice. Just because, perforce, that's the way it is. We're not our rabbi. Our teachers, the people we sit next to in shul are not there at the Seder with us. The only people that we have is our parents. So, it's not just in terms of the telling of the story. The entire experience of Leil HaSeder, already in the Psukim, emphasized four times. The Torah doesn't mention things four times too often. The fact that it does, and it does it in this context of parent to child so many times, is a huge, huge emphasis on that particular interaction. Alright, everybody with me? Does anybody want to disagree? Anybody think that I'm saying something wrong? You're incorrect here. Okay. Let me very quickly go through the next two sources. I want to just you know highlight a couple of these themes of the way the Rambam introduces the Leil HaSeder. Okay. So the Rambam in the seventh chapter of Hilchot Chametz Matzah, the eighth chapter. This is just an important, a good tidbit for the Rambam. The seventh chapter is the Rambam describing the Leil HaSeder. The eighth chapter is the Rambam actually writing out a text, his own text of the Haggadah. So if you're ever interested in, the Rambam had some nuanced differences in how he saw the text. If you're ever interested, you just got to go to the eighth chapter of Hilchot Chametz Matzah. This is how the Rambam formulates these things. All right, let's read through most of this quickly. Source number 3 on page 2, if you're just joining us. Mitzvah da'aseh shel Torah l'saper b'nisim v'nifla'ot sh'na'asu l'avotin b'mitzrayim b'leil ha'chamisha'asar b'nisan. It is a mitzvah of the Torah, mitzvah de'oraita, right? Important language for the Rambam, who's counting all 613 mitzvot. It is a mitzvah of the Torah to tell the story, l'saper b'nisim b'niflaot, to tell about the wonders and miracles, sh'na'asu l'avotenu b'mitzrayim b'leil ha'chamisha'asar b'nisan. Notice, what does he say and what does he not say? He doesn't say, mitzvah aseh shel Torah, l'saper b'yitziat mitzrayim. He says, l'saper b'what? Nisim b'niflaot. Okay, so let's just keep that in mind. I think that's you know maybe a challenge to one of the most basic principles that we always thought about Leil HaSeder, was that we're actually there to tell the story. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. But the Rambam was pretty careful with the words that he used. So I'll just point that out. Shneimar, and many commentaries have made a big deal of this. It's not insignificant. The proof text that the Rambam uses is different than the proof text that it's used in Chazal. Zechora tayom azeh yatzatem in Mitzrayim, that you're supposed to remember. This is also from the parak that we were just reading in Bo. You're supposed to remember this day that you left Mitzrayim. Shneimar zechora tayom azeh Shabbat. The same way that you have the obligation to remember the day of Shabbat. Very significant Rambam, not for now. In terms of the drasha that I mean, in terms of his proof text. Uminayin shebelel chamisha asar, we're in the second paragraph of source 3. Uminayin shebelel chamisha asar, how do we know that it's on the 15th night? Talmud lomar, v'yigat l'levincha b'yom ahu le'mor, b'avur zeh, b'shah sheish matzah u'maror munachim l'fanecha. So the Rambam actually interprets b'avur zeh for us. B'avur zeh, he's talking about the pasuk is a reference to, b'yom ahu is the night of the 15th of Nisan, and b'avur zeh is, again, pedagogical. It's a, what does it mean? You tell me, what does it mean? Any teachers in the crowd? The Rambam is understanding this pasuk of v'yigadta l'vincha b'yom ahu le'mor, b'avur zeh asher samlani b'shah sheish matzah u'maror munachim l'fanecha. This is in the Haggadah also, but the Rambam chose to put this at the very beginning of his discussion. What's the function, according to this formulation, of matzah u'maror munachim l'fanecha? What is it? You're right, to explain about Rosette, but think educationally. How does it serve to you? It's a prop, exactly. Thank you. The point of this, of Leil HaSeder, the way that the Rambam reads this ambiguous phrase in the Pasuk of Bavur Zeh is talking about Matzah Umar Merachim Levnecha, the experience of education. Alright? Anybody who's ever taught in front of a classroom knows that this is, I mean, the Lel Seder is full of this. Different things, different aspects of the Seder, things that, the ability to point to something as opposed to just teaching. So much of learning in Yahadut is about just reading and translating and understanding. The opportunity that we have now on Lel Seder to use props is very unique. It's very, very unique. It's a Talmud Torah experience, yes, but it's a Talmud Torah experience that actually that is unique in terms of the rest of the rest of the world of halacha. Okay, says we're continuing around. We're in the bold, first bold. V'yafa pisha ein lo ben afilu chachamim gdolim. Again, another hey that you had to turn into a hey. Sorry, afilu chachamim gdolim chayavim l'saper b'yitzia Mitzrayim. All right. So two havaminas, two thoughts that the Rambam is trying to dispel. Number one, if you don't have a child, because of all this emphasis that we've given on the parent-child experience, you might have thought that without a kid, all right, if I don't have one, I need to rent one because I can't fulfill this mitzvah without a child. Says the Rambam, no. As much as there is an emphasis on parent-child relationship, the crux of the mitzvah is not speaking to a child. Okay. Same thing with, if the crux of the mitzvah is not about acquiring knowledge, because if you are a chacham gadol, if you are a big talmid chacham, if you already know everything, you still have the mitzvah. Alright? So the Rambam is kind of working around the perimeter here about what the core mitzvah of Lel HaSeder is, and he says it's not, at its very core, at its very purest form, about parent-child, and it's not about acquiring knowledge. It's about something else. V'chol ha-ma'arich b'dvarim she'iru v'shahayu ahari zeh mishubach. Whoever tells more of the story, it's good. Again, paraphrasing from our Haggadah. Halacha bet. Mitzvah lahodiyah levanim v'afilu lo sha'alu. But, despite the fact that you don't need a kid there in order to perform that mitzvah, halacha bet, it's still a mitzvah to tell your children, even if they don't ask. Shenemar v'yigadta levincha. Lefi da'ato shel ben aviv melamdo. Right? However a child best learns, that's how you should teach them. Ketzad, right, and the Rambam gives us, expands even more on these pedagogical educational tools. Im haya katano tipesh, omer lo, bni kulanu, hayinu, avadim, kamo shiv chazu, o kamo eved zeb mitzrayim. We were all, right, what's going to happen? If he's a little kid, or he's a kid that's of limited mental capacity, what are you going to do? You're going to say, you're going to explain to him, bni kulanu hayinu avadim kamo shiv chazu, o kamo eved zeb mitzrayim. You're going to point to some embattered point of person in my Seder. I mean, my kid's only three, but my plan to do this eventually is to compare it to usually people like to use the Holocaust. I think antebellum slavery is also a really good example. I don't think looking at a domestic worker today is a good comparison to what life was like in Mitzrayim. So I think the point that the Rambam is making is an important one. You have to make things relevant to a kid. The same way that Bavur Zeb, Ashar Sheyes Masa, Omar Munachim Lefanecha, the Rambam is telling us, you got to point to something to make a kid understand. And on tonight, that's when we went from being like this person who unfortunately was in a concentration camp to being free. And if your kid is older and wiser, if the kid is older, then you gotta do things on a more advanced level. The point the Rambam is emphasizing, and again, the Rambam, this is the very first things the Rambam is telling us about the Lel Seder, and he's repeating things. The Rambam did not use words lightly. He chose every word very carefully. He is emphasizing the importance of the parent-child relationship, telling you that the crux of the mitzvah is but nevertheless not that, but the importance of being able to use props and being able to point, because that's how kids learn. Kids learn by being able to point to something. Now I would argue, right, in my experience of human psychology, it's not just how kids learn. There are lots of adults who learn that way also. Alright? The importance of props is something that's really, really significant in Lel HaSeder. Right, this is the famous, why do we do it? So the kids will ask. The Rambam says, you have to do things differently. We have to, says the Rambam, we have to do things in a way that's going to get the kid to generate the question, oh, why is tonight different than all other nights? When I was in high school, I heard a story. I don't like to tell Rebbe stories too often, unless I know somebody that experienced them. But I was told the story that in Rav Chaim Soloveitchik Seder, this is, our teacher, the Rav's grandfather, and Chaim Soloveitchik Seder in Brisk, he used to wear a pot on his head. An actual pot on his head. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Rambam. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Gemara. But he used to wear a pot on his head so that when the kids were little, I'm assuming, he didn't do this anymore when they were older, but he used to wear an actual pot on his head so that people would ask, what's going on? So they would say, what's Zaidi? What are you doing? And then they would be able to generate the question and he would do it. I'm not recommending doing that. I'm just saying that the importance that the Rambam is emphasizing here is the need to get kids to be curious.
How do you connect the pot to
your
teeth?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. I also don't know. I don't know if it happened. I've spent my years. I went to Rambam. All right, so I went to Rambam for high school. I spent years looking for this story referenced somewhere, and the only place that I found it is in a weekly Dvar Torah publication that was from 2012 from Rambam. So whichever teacher told me the story, apparently is still teaching it, still telling the story.
Yeah, I was there in the 60s. Discussion was about potheads, not about.
Moving on,
right away.
Well, excellent contribution. Thank you, Harry. Anyway, so the point is, kids generate questions. Okay, let's jump into the text of the Haggadah.
I think it's a lot of questions you're giving. The questions are always. You can do a lot of crazy things, generate a lot of crazy questions. So how are you?
So that's the next thing, all right? And that's what it means to actually tell the story well. All right, now, I can't emphasize this enough. I want to talk about this more next week. But I can't emphasize the Rambam's words here enough about the importance of doing things however best your child learns. I have a 3-year-old right now, all right? I'm very excited. This is not only the first year that I'm actually making a Seder, that Dean and I are making a Seder, but this is the first year that my kid is, I have a shot at having him stay up long enough. And you're like your classic first-time parent who's overdoing it like crazy. So my plan for this year, and this is my plan, because I know how my kid is, and he's going to get really excited about something like this, is we spending the next 2 weeks decorating the dining room. Right, one wall is going to be the Makos wall. Right, we're coloring every night. We've been coloring a new, pick a different Mako. We learn about it, and we color it, and we hang it on the wall. Another wall is going to be the Kriyas Yamsuf wall, where we're renting this house that has this big mirror, so I got like mirror paint, and I have streamers that are going to be going across the room. The place is, I'm planning for my dining room to look like a carnival. All right. I'm serious. It's not your typical exalted evening, you know, you bring out your best china type of attitude. But my goal is very much in keeping with the Rambam this year, and this is me. You got to do things however you best speak to your kid. And if your kid is older, it's also a different experience. But my goal is to get my kid to recognize that this is a really different experience. We've sat at the Shabbos table a lot. We've never had streamers hanging from the ceiling. So my goal is that there's being a lot of hype, and then when we sit down that night, he's full of anticipation and excitement. So I can't emphasize what the Rambam is saying here enough. When your kids are older, right? Ask me in 10 years. But when your kids are older, that's when the challenge is different. I remember one anecdote is a little bit of a different different shift. In my Dina is the oldest in her family. I'm the fifth of 6 children. So when we're by Dina's parents, there are the youngest kids. Last year, the oldest was 2. He was sleeping. So it's all adults around the table. So there's a lot of Lomdei Torah in Dina's family. So we all sit down. I'm telling you about my Tanakh. I sat down at the table with my Haggadah and my Tanakh, and we were talking and learning pretty much the entire evening. My brother-in-law Shua, who's a very astute Ben Torah, he would say one thing, and I would say you're totally wrong, and then we would argue about the context of the pasuk and where it was coming from. I think that's one experience of Sefer Yetzei Mitzrayim. Then the following year, we go to my parents. Again, I'm the fifth of 6 children, so there's my parents, Kai and Ara, have 17 grandchildren now, between all of us. And of the 17, 14 were sitting at the table, the oldest of which was 12. So we were going from 12 to 3. So I spoke to my siblings, and we made a whole game show. All right, so it was a completely different experience I had from one year to the next. But the idea is to try and gear it towards the people at the table to be most interested. So I had to wear, you know, we all had to wear different hats. When I was sitting at my in-laws, I had to wear the hat of the yeshiva bachur who could, you know, clear on a tosfos and what exactly it's talking about. And when I was sitting at my parents, I had to play the role of the game show host. But I think, based on what the Rambam is saying here, I think based on what the themes of Leil Seder, it's all correct. No matter how you do it, no matter how you want to go about getting that, piquing that curiosity, And or we're going to get to content again in a second. But no matter how you're going to go about piquing that curiosity, it's all correct. There's no wrong way to do this. All right? And I wouldn't necessarily quote me on this, but when we get into the text of the Haggadah, I would even argue that there's portions of the text of the Haggadah that I think you can skip over or you can speed through. All right? Because if your kid is little and reading through word for word is going to bore the heck out of him or her, then I don't think that that's what you should be spending your time doing. Say it quickly, and then get to your game show. Do whatever you can to get the kid curious and interested, and then start with the with telling the story however you think is best. I'm going to speak more about those little nuances of pedagogical ideas and educational ideas next week. But by way of introduction, okay. So now let's talk about source number four is the most important psukim of the entire Haggadah. But we're going to get back to it when we get to those psukim. Okay. Let's start with the Haggadah. Basically what I did here is I really just copied and pasted the Haggadah, and I indented it and separated it by paragraphs and used some coloring to try and highlight structurally what's going on. And in doing so, I'd like to make a few suggestions in terms of content-wise, like you were saying, Aura. I'd like to make a few suggestions in terms of places where we can emphasize more and places that we can emphasize less. I think almost every Seder in the world all right, has this challenge where The kids learn things one way in school, and then they come home and they're expecting to do things one way, but it's not really the best way in terms of teaching the content of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. How long does everybody here get stuck on the Manishtana in your house? Does it take a while? And then by the time you're done with everybody singing the Manishtana, everybody showing how well they sing the Manishtana, everybody's sick of it and everybody wants to get through it, but you have the entire Magid left, so how in the heck are we supposed to actually tell the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim when we haven't even started telling the story and we've just... So the Manishtana, that's a perfect example of something where it's wonderful, and Jewish people have been doing it for as long as we can remember, but it's not the crux of the evening. That's just one example. Let's get through the structure. So Kadesh Ruchat Karpas Yachat Magid, a big part of that, and I'm going to get to it next week when I speak about the rest of the Seder, is going to be a big part of the lead up to Magid, I think, is about setting up props. Setting up things that are different from the way things ordinarily are. Again, if you read through the interpretations of the many mfarshim on the Haggadah, and the nuanced differences in the 10th parak of Psachim, how the Mishnayot present these things, and if you look at the Rambam's Haggadah, I think this is abundantly clear. A lot of this is just about changing things up and having props on the table so that things are different. Then we get to the Magid. So the Magid, I would argue, is multifaceted and has got a lot of different points, but each one of them is really part of a different aspect of the main goal, which really is telling the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. When we're done, the last page here is a summary of the structure. But I want to go through it in terms of the text. We open up with Halach Ma'ane De'achalu Avasana, the Arad Mitzrayim. We open up with this, alright, I don't want to get into each one of these paragraphs we could spend an entire shira on. I don't want to really read everything inside. I'm more interested in structure. We open up with the Halach Ma'anya, in which we are now pointing to the matzah. Alright? Ordinarily, when you sit down at the Shabbos table, alright, think about it in terms of a kid and the experience that you have at the Shabbos table. Ordinarily, you sit down at the Shabbos table. You have a challah out there. You've just made kiddush. What's the next thing that you do? Right? You make hamotzi and you eat. Here, we're doing the opposite. We're putting our challahs out, our Pesach challahs out, we're pointing to them, and then we start talking. Okay? All of which is supposed to serve all of the things that we were discussing. Setting up props, Ba'avur ze'ashas asah Hashem li, being able to point to them, talking about significance, talking about meaning, but also being able to do things in a way that's different to generate asking questions. All of that is what's going on. And then, in reaction to that, not coincidentally, in reaction to that pointing, which is a stark difference, stark change from what we ordinarily do at the table, the kid, the Kana ben Shoel, says the Mishnah. At this point, the kid is supposed to ask. Think about the way the Rambam formulated the Manishtana. The way the Rambam said is that we're supposed to do things in a way that get kids to ask the question, Manishtana halayla azani kol halaylot. So now, we symbolically have the Manishtana there. Right, and we have the kid formulate the question, and we highlight four ways in which this evening is different than other nights. But that is supposed to be a launching point. All right, it's supposed to be a point of departure into discussion of these things. I would argue, or I have a rabotai, You would be better, if you're going to get stuck on the Manishtana and have everybody sing it and then not get a chance to actually discuss any of the content of the Seder, you're better off skipping the Manishtana. Because better off that the kid actually asks a real question rather than just sing the thing that they learned in school. Now, I'm not saying that you should skip parts of the Seder. Every kid is really excited to get up and sing the Manishtana. But you should recognize that the importance of it is really not about singing a song. The importance of it is the kid actually being curious and therefore asking questions. So sing the song. Pick a kid. If you want a strategy, we'll go through more strategies next week. But if you want a strategy, I think that the best plan is let the youngest sing it and have everybody either sing along for the chorus or then do one more rendition of everybody singing together, and then that's it. Get through the Manishtan 5 minutes, 3 minutes if you can, and then move on. Because the importance here, and I would say maybe even start, do a little give and take with your kids. What are you asking? What do you think is the difference? Why do you think we have Haseba tonight and we don't have Haseba the other times? Why do you think we have Karpas? Let them answer a question, let them be a give and take, and then move on. But don't let it just be singing a song, and then the next kid singing the song, and then the next kid singing the song. Okay.
But everything that we do in the Seder, it's like a Manishtana. It's like you said.
Correct. But the whole point of the Manishtana, the whole point of asking that question is so that it leads to discussion, it leads to education, it leads to teaching about the story. If you have, this is the point that I'm making, I'll reiterate it one more time. If you have the question without any answer, without any education, we're missing something. I wouldn't just say we're missing something, we're missing almost everything. The question is really good, but the question is only important if it leads to discussion and education. Okay, so we go from there to the Manishtana. Now everybody likes to usually say that the Sipur Yitzia Mitzrayim begins here, Avadim Ayinim Farav Mitzrayim. I disagree. And again, this is my own interpretation of the structure. This is how I've always understood the Haggadah. But you're gonna let me, if you think differently, please let me know. Avadim Ayinim Farav Mitzrayim emphasizes, again, getting back to the four themes that we mentioned, it emphasizes the current status rather than the story. Think Avadim Ayinim Farav Mitzrayim. Right? Think about what these words are. We were slaves and God took us out. But what's the real focus of this paragraph? Were the Exodus never to have happened, we would still be in Egypt. Now, is that paragraph about a story of the Exodus, or is it about us in contemporary times and how we got to where we are? You could just say yes. unless you disagree. All right, there's the first line is Avadim Ayinu L'Farav Mitzrayim, but I think it's an introduction to a discussion about contemporary times. And like I said, the Leil HaSeder is an emphasis. It's a story of Jewish history. It's not just about the story of the Exodus. It's how the story of Exodus fits into Jewish history. And this is the opening lines. Some of the opening lines of Maggid. The opening response to the child is not, let me, Mamala, Tata, Lala, let me tell you the story of the Exodus. The story is, yeah, there was Yitziat Mitzrayim, and we're here today because of it. You're sitting here today. You think you'd be able to go to yeshiva today if there wasn't Yitziat Mitzrayim? You think you'd be able to, put on tefillin in the morning if there wasn't Yitziat Mitzrayim? No, you wouldn't. No aspect of our lives would be what it is today were it not for this momentous occasion in history. And that, again, think about that. You tell a kid, you get a kid curious. I think the educational, value of this is just gold. You get a kid curious enough to ask a question, and then about what's going on tonight. And you say, yeah, it's really just about the story that the Jewish people left Egypt. And not only that, but everything in your world, everything that you like, everything that you experience, everything about your existence is dependent on that day. So, what kind of answer is that? What's that going to get the kid to do? Right? Yeah?
Say whoa.
Well, he'll say whoa, but you didn't say anything about the story. So you say, Avadim Ayinu L'Farav Mitzrayim, yeah, we were slaves and then we weren't. And you should just know that in every respect, your life was impacted by this. What is that going to get the kid to do?
What happened?
Yeah, ask more. What do you mean, Avadim Ayinu? You're going to give me 7 words about the story? I need to hear the story. You can't just tell me, Avadim Ayinu L'Farav Mitzrayim. If you're telling me that every iota of my existence is dependent on this, I imagine a little kid is not going to use these words, but if you're going to tell me that my whole life is dependent on this, I want to hear more of the story. All right? So basically, we're responding to the question with a huge emphasis on getting to ask more questions. Don't end it here. Don't just answer the question. Get them more curious. Let there be a big discussion. And then we get into this. Some of the stuff is just so enigmatic if you don't just take a broader look at what the structure of the Gada is. Masav Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yoshua. Right. So we're in the 2/3 of the way down on page 3. Masav Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yoshua Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The story of these Tanaim that sat together. What do you think is going on here? They were all sitting together, and then Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So the first thing is that they were so obsessed with the Seder, they were so obsessed with the mitzvah. What do you think that's telling you? If you want to glean one message, one theme from that. Why? Okay, so that actually is something the Rambam mentions. The Haggadah mentions it also that even filo chachamim gedolim that we would still require. But give me something else. I mean, I had a different thought. Right, we just spoke about how Abba Yidimayinu Varim Mitzrayim and every aspect of our present existence is dependent on them. And then we told the story of some of the most famous Jews that ever lived. And what did they do? They stayed up all night in fulfillment of this mitzvah. What does that tell you about this mitzvah? This is that much more glaring when you know a little bit about the history of who these people were. Yeah.
To me, it seems a little odious that they come and remind them about Kiryat Shema.
I agree with you, but I'm 100%. But it's focused on yeah.
It somewhat conflicts with what you said.
How? Tell me.
Where's their family?
So good question. All right. Excellent question. But.
They're right.
Yeah, this is an in-laws version. So I take from this, and again, this is my own interpretation of the Haggadah. This is how I have always understood it. That the purpose of this story, all right, there are many things. All right, the Kriyat Shema, the audacity of the Talmidim, where Kriyat Shema fits in. Kriyat Shema is related to Yitzhak Mitzrayim in terms of the importance of Jewish history and remembering the bedrock of our faith, but. The importance of this is to emphasize just how important this is. These are some of the most famous Jews in the history of our people. And not only that, but they were people with other things on their mind. And yet, they spent so much time. So I would say that this story gives added significance. Then we have the drusha of, and I think this is proven by what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah actually says. I was Tiven Shiv Mishana, and I didn't know anything about about Yitziat Mitzrayim by Leilot until I saw Ben Zoma's drusha. What is Ben Zoma's drusha? The brown, by the way, this is the color coded, is for drashot. You have to understand how the Haggadah is darshaning, is giving drashot on psukim. So the first thing is that we have remembering the Exodus of Egypt, both day and night, every single day. Again, if you want to emphasize its significance, that's a pretty big emphasis. You have to do it all day, every day, both day and night. Second one is not just day and night, but eternity. Ha'olam hazeh and lahavi lemot ha-mashiach. For all eternity, we need to do it. So I would say that the first bunch of paragraphs here have the sole, after Man Shana, is the sole focus of telling you how important this mitzvah is. That's how I read it. I think that's the running theme through all of them. The Avadim Ayinu tells you, to ask more questions. The Masad Rabbi Elazar, and then the Elazar ben Azariah is all about how important it is. Then we pivot from there into the Halal the Hoda'ah aspect, which gets us again to shift into the Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu Baruch Shnatan Torah Mo Yisrael Baruch Hu. How good is Hashem who gave us the Torah? Keneged Arba Avanim Dibra Torah. What does that sentence mean? Somebody tell me. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu Baruch Shnatan Torah Lamo Yisrael. What does that sentence mean? Keneged Arba Avanim Dibra Torah. When we say that Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu Baruch Shnatan Torah Lamo Yisrael, blessed is God for giving the Torah to the Jewish people. Keneged Arba Avanim Dibra Torah. Chacham Rasha Tam Meini Deil Shol. What is it talking about? How is that Keneged Arba Avanim? In place of the Torah is referring to four children or sons. So, what do you mean, the whole Bnei Israel? When it said, Baruch HaMakom, Baruch Shnatan Torah Lamo Yisrael, I think that this sentence is a non sequitur. Alright? I don't see on the shot level it flows, so we have to interpret it. Blessed is God for giving the Torah to the Jewish people, and when we say, blessed is God for giving the Torah to the Jewish people, we're referring to four sons. Alright? So that's why I think, again, strictly at shot level, the simplest way of understanding the four sons that we were always thought were the four sons at the Seder, are talking about, again, getting back to our themes, pedagogy. All right? Four different types. We're so interested. We're so focused. Yeah. So focused on how we have to talk, we have to do this process the best way that we can based on who we're dealing with. These represent four different types of kids, four different types of people, four different methods and modes of learning. And that's, I think, the four sons. And I think that you know, the most significant part of it is that. Okay? And then we go from the four sons to Yechol Mirosh Chodesh, right, which I think is the significance of the Seder night versus other nights. So we've set up this whole process, and I would argue, before we even start telling the story of the Exodus, we've set up this whole structure of emphasizing education, emphasizing differential education, right? The importance of each individual kid and learning on their own level, emphasizing, you know, generating the kid, generating the people there to ask questions, that it'd be Socratic, you know, that it'd be there, it'd be about give and take, the significance of the mitzvah of Yitziat Mitzrayim, right? And its relevance to Jewish history, even until today. All of that we've done in a few paragraphs. And by now, we should be good and curious about what exactly happened at Yitziat Mitzrayim. If we do this right, and we set up this structure properly, and we're getting the kid, everybody there curious, we're good and ready for a really meaty, really substantive discussion about what happened in the Exodus. Okay, and that's when we get to the actual story. So let's spend the next 5 minutes going through just the structure. Again, I don't want to read it inside. I just want to go in terms of the structure of the story. So we start, like I said, the importance of Jewish history. We start from the very, very beginning. Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Avotenu, va'achshav kirvanu ha'makom la'avodah. The blue that I color-coded here, I think were references to the eternality, right? To the nowadays relevance, like the way I was referring to it. So, Akshav Kirvanu Amakam Labodat. Toshnemar Vayomer Shua Kalam. So originally we were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and now we are not. Now we are close to God. Today, Akshav Anachnu. Right, as these psukim go, the one thing that you need to be comfortable with in order to get appreciate a good read of the Haggadah is how Chazal do drashot. Right, it uses psukim. Like I said, the Tanakh is the most important companion at the Seder. It uses psukim, and then it tells you how those psukim are being interpreted. So you go from pasuk to interpretation, pasuk to interpretation. And getting a good, a well-punctuated Haggadah is probably most important. Again, a little tip for the Seder, if you're dealing with kids. The kids don't know any Navi, right? That's depending how little they are. Little kids don't know any Navi. They don't know the Navi Yechezkel, but they know Chumash. So you have to, if there are psukim that you read through the Haggadah, if there are psukim that you know that your kids have learned in school, those are the ones that you got to make a really big deal of. Start telling the whole story. Avram Avinu, what happened to Avram Avinu in Parshat Lech Lecha? He had the Brit Bina Batarim, he recognized God, he noticed God, and then all of a sudden Hashem gave this thing, and he promised him something, but in the middle of this story of Hashem promising him his great legacy and getting Eretz Yisrael, he said, you're going to have to go down to Egypt for 400 years. And that's psukim are being mentioned like that. Why do you think that is? Well, tell me, what do you think about Avram? How is that he relevant to the story? Play on this knowledge that the kids have, and if you just do it, just highlight, put a check by the psukim that you think the kids have seen, the stories that the kids are relevant, then when you start mentioning the context, they'll be familiar with it. Okay, so we shift from there into the, I titled this subsection as the Patriarchs to Egypt. We go very quickly, go from Avram to Avram being from Avram's parents, really, to Yitziat Mitzrayim. And then, Baruch Shomer Haftachato, right? Shakadosh Baruch Hu Chishev Et Haketz Lasot Kmash Amar LaAvram Avinu Bevit Bein Avtarim. Right? And that's when we have Avram. The importance of the Ketz here, I put it in blue, because now we're again talking about the eternality of the Seder. Already from Avram Avinu, we were talking about the entire sequence of Jewish history. We're talking about the end of days, of the Ketz, of the Yemot HaMashiach. Then, right? Now that we've just given a really short synopsis of the entire history of the Jewish people from Abraham until Yitziat Mitzrayim, until today, now we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us throughout. This is the Halal V'Hodah, the recognition that Hashem was with us throughout this entire process. Shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu l'chaloteinu, ela shebechol dor vador omdim aleinu l'chaloteinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzaleinu miyadam. Right? You're sitting there at the Seder. You should just know. We just went through we went through all of Jewish history. God has been with us throughout. God has been with us throughout. And you want to know one of the best examples, one of the best instances in which God was with the Jewish people? Let's talk about Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's a perfect segue. A perfect segue into start getting into the meat of the story. Tzeil Mad. Then we get into, again, building off of this last paragraph, Shalom Echad Bilvad, that the Jewish people have had a difficult time throughout their entire history. Sayulmad, originally we had trouble with Arami, with this Arami, which was Lavan. Now, here's where the most important sukkah in the Seder come up. And I mentioned this at the beginning, this is source number 4 on page 2. So, page 2, we'll be done in 3 minutes. I'm not even rushing, because this is just about structure. Page 2 is the sukkim of Mikra Bikurim. This is perhaps the best question, I think, that anybody can ask at the Seder. We have 20 prakim of the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, 15 prakim of the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim in Sefer Shemot. So much there. Details upon details upon details. And the crux of the Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is told through these psukim in Parsha Kitavu. Of the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim. A person bringing the first fruits to Yerushalayim, when he's bringing those fruits, he has to recite 4 psukim. Okay, let me just read from the bold. Right, a person he brings his first fruits and he comes to Yerushalayim, and then the Kohen takes the tenam yadecha, the basket of fruits, and he puts it in front of the mizbeach Hashem. The anita v'yamarta lefnei Hashem elokecha. You who has brought those fruits are going to respond. Arami ovei Davi. My forefather was a starving Arami. Vayered Mitzrayim, and he went to Mitzrayim. Vayagar sham b'mseimahat. Vayisham legoi gadol atzum varav. Vayerau autanu amitzrayim. Vayanunu vayatnu alinu avodah kashah. Vanitza. What's going to happen? We were a wandering Aramite, and then we went down to Egypt, and then we got to we became slaves, and then we cried out to God. Vayishma Hashem et kolenu vayarat onyenu et amalenu et lachatzenu vayotzinu Hashem im Mitzrayim yad chazakav zoran etuyav morag gadol otot v'motin. Right, and then pasuk tet. And we're on top of 3, page 3 now. Vayavinu la makom hazeh, vayitin lanu et ha'aretz hazot eretz zavat chalab udvash. Va'ata, hine heveti et reshit pri adamah, shenatata le'i Hashem, inachto lefnei Hashem alokecha, v'yishtachavecha lefnei Hashem alokecha. In a word, what would you say the Mikra Bikurim is? It's an entire telling of Jewish history. That's what Mikra Bikurim is. It frames the most significant aspect of Jewish history as being Yitziat Mitzrayim. Why does, and this is the suggestion that I'll leave you with today, why is it that we, instead of reading the Prakim of Sefer Shemot, that actually describe the Exodus, instead of reading those Prakim at the Leil HaSeder, why is it that we use the Psukim of Mikra Bikurim? Because we're not interested in Leil HaSeder of the actual Exodus. We're interested in all of Jewish history. We're interested in from Avraham Avinu until today. And because of that, we use these Psukim to tell the story. Now, in doing so, we go through many psukim in Sefer Shemot, all right? And if you want, you can read through them on your own. But I indented it. The pasuk in Kitavo is in brown, and then the drashot, taking each piece of the pasuk and then its interpretation, is in the indented paragraphs that follow. And that's for the 3 psukim, 3 of the psukim from Mikra Bikurim that happened. We tell the story framed in Mikra Bikurim because Leil HaSeder is not about Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's about Yitziat Mitzrayim and its impact on all of Jewish history. And I think if we're going to leave it with one theme today, I think it's going to be that. What I'd like to do next week is pick up with this. I want to finish up with this little run through of Magid, and then I want to talk about the general structure of Legada. But again, if I'm going to leave you with one thing for today. The important takeaway is the 4 themes that we mentioned: the importance of pedagogy, the importance of halal v'hodah, but also the importance of the mitzvot, but also the importance of the experience. And this is probably the most important thing that I would see in the Haggadah: the eternality of the Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim, how it's relevant through all of Jewish history, and how if you're looking for a proof text, a point, something to point to prove that, it's the fact that we tell the story through the lens of Mikra Bikurim, which is a really good short summary of not just Yitziat Mitzrayim, but all of Jewish history. All right, we'll stop there. Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue next week. Shkoch.